All right, welcome in, 49ers Intel. Coming off of the first block of training camp practices. 4-0 for the 49ers. They're going to have Sunday off, and then it really begins on Monday when the pads come on. So welcome in to everybody. This is the Lombardi Lounge, the 49ers podcast, complete with the logo. Welcome to wherever you're viewing from, whether it be Twitter, YouTube, or obviously listening from the podcast, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So be sure to check out all the different channels when you do get a chance. Anyway, this is going to be a look through every single player on the 49ers roster through the first block of practices, including the guys that we haven't seen yet. That it obviously includes Trent Williams, whose holdout continues. We've technically seen Brandon Ayuk, but he's holding in, so he hasn't practiced yet. And obviously, there are a handful of players who have not participated due to injuries, and there are a handful of players who have gotten injured over the course of the first few days of training camp. We also expect to see somebody for the first time next week, possibly as soon as Monday, and that is Ricky Pearsall. Of course, we're also going to feature some food, and hell, I might as well feature today's food right now. San Francisco Street Al Pastor. This was yesterday at 19th and Mission. It might have been the biggest spit of Al Pastor that I had ever seen rotating over there on the street. With the pineapple on top, you have to have the pineapple on top for it to be a proper serving of Al Pastor. This was after Taqueria Cancun last night. I was just walking down the sidewalk, had the good burrito. Then I decided that I wasn't full anymore. So that's today's San Francisco food. Anyway, back to football. How's every single player on the 49ers roster doing? We're going to refer to this, the unofficial yet official depth chart. It's official by my standards. It's not official according to the 49ers standards, but you can take a look here. It's color-coded. The pink color code means that a player is currently injured, hurt, out of practice. That is going to supersede anything that's green or teal, but green means rookie who's available. Teal means free agent that the 49ers have added this season. To the left of this dividing line is my 53-man roster projection. It is not scientific at this point. I still have to sit down and make some cuts, make some different projections, but it gives you a ballpark idea of where this team's roster is right now. The right side of this is the players who I don't expect to make the roster, but this is just a projection. And even guys that don't make the roster, remember there's a 16-man practice squad that the 49ers can fill up and will fill up by the time this is all said and done. So why don't we go through all of this? We're going to talk 49ers intel. I'll point you to a couple of my articles on The Athletic. And hell, we can start at the bottom because I know a lot of people will be tuning in. They want to know about Brock Purdy and the quarterback position, but we'll just make you wait for that. We're going to start on a more granular level. We can go straight to the defensive backfield, which is down here. 49ers DBs, Charvarius Ward, he's back and he's healthy again. Looking good, I would say. He and George Kittle are both coming off that same core muscle surgery, and both he and George Kittle have recovered well, appear to be full go. George, actually, with the rest of the cast of that receiver series on Netflix, he was talking about Charvarius Ward being his top favorite cornerback in the league, and it was fascinating. I saw this on Twitter just a couple hours ago. George was saying that Charvarius Ward flips the switch just better than anybody has ever seen between his chill off-the-field demeanor and just going at it on the field. And, you know, I've gotten to know Mooney Ward in the locker room, and he's definitely chill. You'll run into him in the locker room, and sometimes he's just taking a nap in his locker. He kind of just buries his head in there underneath all the clothes, and he's literally laid back, quite literally. And the off switch is engaged at that point. But when he gets onto the field, I mean, he's as fierce as any cornerback in the league. He actually had the lowest missed tackle rate of any cornerback in the league 2 seasons ago, his first year with the 49ers in 2022. He missed a couple tackles last season, so it wasn't down at like 2% or whatever the hell it was, but it was still a top 10 missed tackle rate. We know he can cover. He picked off all those passes. He was an all-pro. But I think whenever a cornerback can tackle as well as Charvarius Ward does. Not only is that mandatory in the 49ers scheme when that corner has to crack down against the run game so often, but it just shows the level of toughness. Because in the modern game, you've got downsizing defensive backs. It's become more of a speed game on offense. So I think tackling has become a little bit of a lost art as well, especially in the defensive backfield, but across entire defenses. So then you look at somebody like Charvarius Ward, total throwback, is able to throw his body into the fray and consistently make tackles. Anyway, the 49ers are happy that this guy is back from his core muscle injury, ready to go. Isaac Yiadom, he is actually playing that outside cornerback position with the 49ers starters whenever they're in nickel. And Diamador Lenore is moving into that nickel back spot. So I would say that Ward and Lenore are the top two corners on this team. But I would add that Isaac Yiadom is part of the top to outside corners whenever Lenore's duties take him elsewhere. And it's going to take something for some of these other guys to unseat Isaac Yiadom. I mean, this is a guy that had 11 pass breakups last year with the New Orleans Saints. He took over for Paulson Adebo after Adebo got hurt around midseason. And then Yiadom just took over. I think Ward had 16, 17 pass breakups to lead the NFL. So if Yiadom had 11 over half a season, that is mighty, mighty impressive. So Renardo Green's got his work cut out for him if he's going to see playing time this year, unless obviously there's an injury, and you always want to have depth at that cornerback position. But Green is the 49ers second round pick out of Florida State. Not doing anything wrong. He just has veterans in front of him, all of whom only have 1 year left on their contracts, by the way, Ward, Yiadom, and Lenore. So you could see the obvious need for Renardo Green, but it's not going to be easy for him to just force his way onto the field as long as Ward, Yiadom, and Lenore stay healthy. Because also you've got Rock Ya-Sin, who is a veteran that is accomplished in this league, played for Baltimore last season. I think very involved in some of these early practices. One of the highlights that we looked at the other day was Deebo Samuel catching a very, very contested slant pass defended by Rock Ya-Sin. And if it was any receiver but Deebo Samuel, I think it would have been an incompletion. I mean, Rock Ya-Sin was frustrated after he threw his arms up in exasperation because somehow Deebo wrestled the ball away from him, but the coverage was perfect. Textbook, he gets his arm right in there, right on time, not too early, not too late. And you think that he's knocking the ball away, but Deebo really has superhuman strength for a wide receiver, and he's going to frustrate a lot of people in contested catch situations like that just because of his strength. It doesn't only apply to breaking tackles, but it can also apply to winning some of those contested catches over the middle. Anyway, more of this. Darrell Luter Jr. This is somebody who, if he keeps on doing what he's doing, I'm going to have to move up this depth chart somehow. Maybe, you know, I could even put Darrell Luter Jr. above Renardo Green right now. And if I do a 53-man roster projection at some point soon, that's something that we could definitely look at. Because Darrell, second-year guy, he's made a hell of a lot of plays. High point and interception on the second day of camp. Today at practice, which was practice number 4, he broke up a slant from Brock Purdy intended for Juwan Jennings. And it was a hell of a play. Top-down defense from Darrell Luter. Very, very impressive on his part, just crashing down and playing physically because he's a long cornerback, big and strong. Yiadom is big and strong. Ward is big and strong. You could tell the 49ers have a type for some of these outside corner roles, and Luter fits it. Today, they waived Kamon Hall to make room for another receiver, Ronald Darby, on this team. So Kamon Hall is no longer at this cornerback position. I have Ambry Thomas, Samuel Womack, and Chase Lucas still to cover at this position. Lucas is a free agent pickup. He was a really good gunner for Detroit. I think he's a little slighter of frame than a lot of the 49ers cornerbacks. So, but he's been playing outside and inside on some of these second teams. It's going to be interesting to see if he can crack the roster. It just seems like such an uphill battle because this is the deepest cornerback room that the 49ers have had since Lynch and Shanahan took over. I mean, I don't have Ambry Thomas and Samuel Womack on the inside of the picture right now. And that's despite the fact that both of these guys have made some plays already in training camp, especially Womack. He had a nice pass breakup against Danny Gray the other day. So it should be a lot of fun to watch this 49ers cornerback room because you go from the days where they didn't have depth at all, where they were really burned by it in 2020 and then 2021, to, you know, the big signing of Charvarius Ward in 2022, which was a direct reaction to the depth struggles that they had in 2021 down the stretch in the NFC Championship game. You go from that to this, where you're just overflowing with depth at the cornerback position, and you've got to feel like you're in a much better place if you're the 49ers with their secondary. Now, on the contrary, a lot of people have been worried about the safety depth. I don't think Kyle Shanahan is nearly as worried as the general public. Now, the 49ers might have been more worried earlier this offseason about their safety depth because they were looking into signing a veteran. They did, according to Rayshon Jenkins, who signed with the Seahawks, offer Rayshon a contract. They did host Julian Blackman, who re-signed with the Colts. So there was, and definitely, and they had maintained contact with Tashawn Gibson Sr., who's their former safety. So there was definitely interest on the 49ers part to bolster this safety room. And you could take a look at it down here. You could see Talanoa Hufanga shaded in the pink because he's recovering from the ACL. But I would say that it appears that San Francisco has assuaged some of its concerns because Hufanga's recovery is proceeding on schedule. Talanoa is expected back around the middle of next month. That's what Kyle Shanahan said today. They're going to run a full evaluation on him around the time of the open practices in Irvine against the Saints. And if that all goes well, then we'll see Talanoa Hufanga presumably come off the PUP list where he's at right now and be able to man one of the 49ers safety positions. At the moment, the first teamers are Jair Brown, who had an interception yesterday, and George Odom, who is, I mean, when he's been healthy for the 49ers over the past 2 years, he's been the NFL's leading special teams tackler. So he's a valuable piece of this team, and he's also a backup at that safety position. But we've seen Malik Mustafa, the rookie, really come on here over the course of the first week of camp. One interception, and that was on a single high kind of play where he crossed the formation, was sprinting a whole long way, and then he was able to jump in front of the pass. That one was attempted from, I think that was a Brandon Allen pass early on in camp. That might have actually been Josh Dobbs. That was on the first or second day of training camp, and everybody said, wow, Malik Mustafa is a ball of muscle, but he can also move. That's going to be really big for him in his bid to earn major playing time, especially early on for the 49ers. And then there's a second one where he almost got Brandon Allen on an off-schedule play, and there was more good recognition downfield from Malik Mustafa. So we already knew that this guy could be a potential missile near the line of scrimmage, but the fact that he's shown some promise further in coverage, albeit against the second team here over the first four practices, I think is really, really good news for the 49ers. They've also got some depth at the safety position. Eric Harris has made a couple plays, good plays in coverage. He's a veteran who was on the practice squad down the stretch last season. Good special teams fill in. You can call him up. He's going to be a trusted player to keep in the building. Taylor Hawkins, he's been in the building now for a couple of years, has been mainly on the practice squad. Remember, he notched his first career interception in that Week 18 game against the Rams last year. And then he's wearing the infamous number 49. It's Jalen Mahoney, who's a rookie undrafted free agent out of Vanderbilt. Number 49 on the 49ers. There's some poetry to that. We'll see if Mahoney can make a little bit of a mark to at least position himself for the practice squad once the pads do come on Monday. So that's a look at the 49ers secondary as we move forward to the linebacker position. I think that the secondary, you could have questions about safety just because Talanoa Hufanga is still hurt, but that's all trending in the right direction. And I think that we've actually seen a whole heck of a lot of good DB play over the first 4 days from the 49ers. So then, you know, linebacker, that to me is fascinating because Dre Greenlaw, the first day of practice, Dre was out there, obviously still on PUP, and he was playing catch with Fred Warner, and he's chomping at the bit to get back in action for the 49ers. That's all great, but he's probably, I would assume he's probably not going to be ready for week one, just based on the timeline of the Achilles tear and the fact that he's still on PUP, and the fact that the 49ers signed Devondre Campbell over the offseason to bridge the gap before Dre Greenlaw can come back. We've heard so many positive things about D. Winters and the strides that the second year player out of TCU has taken. But I still think, and based on what we see on the field right now, on how the 49ers are lining up, I still think that the Devondre Campbell is going to be the primary choice at linebacker two before Dre Greenlaw can come back. I mean, D might leapfrog him this year, but Devondre Campbell, you can't just, you know, scoff at him as a player with no pedigree. In 2021, which was actually the year the 49ers played the Packers twice, Devondre Campbell was a first-team All-Pro. Then in 2023, by last season, the pass defense had regressed. He's 31 years old now, wasn't as good in coverage, gave up a high passer rating into his coverage. That said, I was at practice today, and Christian McCaffrey ran a route down the near side right in front of me, and blanketing him the whole way was Devondre Campbell. So, I mean, if you can cover Christian McCaffrey, I don't care what the setup is. If you can do a good job covering Christian McCaffrey as a linebacker, you still have some movement ability left. So we'll see just exactly how much Devondre has left in the tank over the longer period of time. But there is some evidence to suggest that he was upset in Green Bay last year, that he wasn't all too pleased with the coaching staff. And we should also mention that he has played in a very similar system to the 49ers system before in Atlanta. Kyle Shanahan was actually in Atlanta for Devondre Campbell's rookie year in 2016. And that was under Dan Quinn. And Dan Quinn, obviously, is a Seattle Pete Carroll disciple. So he ran the Seattle-style defense in Atlanta. Devondre Campbell learned the system there. Puts a whole heck of a lot of pressure on linebackers. I mean, that was the system of Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright. KJ Wright's now 49ers assistant coach. He by the way, was happy with one of the 49ers young linebackers today. I'll get to that in a little bit. But the familiarity comes full circle for somebody like Devondre Campbell, who gets to play now in a very similar system to the one that he entered the NFL with the Atlanta Falcons. So today was a good day for him, good play for him. We'll see if that keeps up. Now, speaking of KJ Wright, go over to the right side here. Tatum Bethune, 49ers seventh round pick out of Florida State. Today, he showed some really nice recognition. Brandon Allen was the quarterback, part of the backup quarterback battle, and he ran a play fake and he rolled to the near side. And obviously the goal of the play fake was to get the defense to the flow to the far side and create some exposure on the naked side, on the side of the field opposite the fake. And Tatum Bethune basically was the main key to making sure that that play didn't work for the 49ers offense, because he stayed home. I talked to Bethune's defensive coordinator and to his head coach, Mike Norvell, at Florida State after the 49ers drafted him. And one of the things that they emphasized, I mean, everybody knows that there's a reason why Bethune wasn't picked until the seventh round. It's because he wasn't prolific in coverage. His hips can be a little tight. But what the guys who know him best through coaching him said was that his study and his instincts were both A-plus traits, especially his study, that he's prepared for what opposing offenses are going to throw at him. And I'll tell you what, Kyle Shanahan's going to throw a lot at rookie linebackers. It's not probably pleasant to be a rookie, enter the NFL, and then have to play chess against Kyle Shanahan calling plays on the other side during training camp. Tatum Bethune was very ready for this play fake today. He stayed home for this play fake. And right after, KJ Wright, the former Seahawk who's now on the 49ers coaching staff, he was so excited that he actually ran out onto the field and gave KJ Wright a high five. Right after that, KJ Wright gave Tatum Bethune a high five. Immediately after that, Tatum Bethune had a nice run fit. Now, it's hard to judge run fits. It's really hard to judge run defense before the pads come on. So, you know, let's just pump the brakes. We're not going to say that was some kind of all pro play, but it was notable that it made KJ Wright really happy again. So look out, Tatum Bethune, big time hitter out of Florida State, seventh round pick. He's going to be trying to make a move. So is D Winters. Fred Warner is Fred Warner. He's doing his juggling on the sideline. I think Fred Warner looks like he's added some bulk. You know, everybody's talking about Brock Purdy bulking up. Fred Warner he looks like a Greek god out there. You go back to when he was wearing the 48 as a rookie. I'm not saying Fred was ever skinny. Fred has always been well built, but I mean, now Fred Warner is all pro Fred. And I still remember Richard Sherman first coining that term back in 2019, calling him all pro Fred. Well, he's a multiple time all pro now. And he is in the prime of his career. He is a superstar. He's the best that the NFL has to offer, and he certainly looks physically ready for this season. Demetrius Flanagan Foles, he's missing some practice right now with an injury. And there's Ezekiel Turner, who the 49ers signed in free agency, used to be with the Cardinals. Turner blocked a punt in 2020 against the 49ers. Remember that week one game, empty Levi's Stadium, and Mitch Wishnowsky, that was his rookie year, had a punt blocked. Maybe that was that Mitch Wishnowsky's second year? What year was Wishnowsky might have been drafted in 2019. Either way, he had a punt blocked in 2020, and that was Ezekiel Turner. Ezekiel Turner just flew in there and was able to lodge the big play for the Arizona Cardinals. So he's a special team stalwart. And if he makes this football team, and I have it projected for Turner to make the football team, because the 49ers might be able to fit another linebacker on there if Dre Greenlaw is not counting toward the total on PUP. If that happens, then the 49ers can be looking for some big special teams plays from Ezekiel Turner. So many of their signings, by the way, this offseason, Chase Lucas, who was a really good gunner for Detroit, Ezekiel Turner, who was a really good special teams player for the Arizona Cardinals, Rock Ya-Sin, Isaac Yiadom, all these guys, the 49ers, I think, signed with special teams firmly in mind. You could even go to the offensive side of the ball. Trent Taylor obviously signed with special teams firmly in mind, because special teams, that's some place where the 49ers have struggled a bit in recent seasons. And with Trent Taylor, they need a higher floor at punt returner, but they also needed a better job on their coverage units, and I think that some of these guys on defense were signed for that express purpose. So now we look to Curtis Robinson, the Stanford product. He's wearing the number 36 now. He has changed numbers from 59 to 36 because Devondre Campbell is 59. Robinson actually been the third linebacker for the 49ers in some of their rotational formations. So he's been a trusted agent of this football team. I'm sure he'll continue to be that. They've actually carried Curtis on the 53 to start the season before. I think that was last year. But he could also be a good candidate for a practice squad flex up kind of player. They really do enjoy having a robust linebacker position. All right, so now we're going to move to the defensive line. This is always my favorite position to talk about. And the 49ers have overhauled this defensive line big time this year. Because, I mean, let's be honest, the run defense wasn't good last year. Remember what, number 26 in EPA against the run? This is something that I was talking about early in the season. I think I first rang the alarm bell on the run defense after the loss to the Cleveland Browns, and maybe even a little bit sooner than that. But the loss to the Browns, the 49ers got, it was body blow after body blow after body blow from Cleveland, to the point where the Browns set themselves up for their game-winning drive. And I know the 49ers had a chance to rebut, and they missed the field goal. But the drive prior to that, the Browns were running it down San Francisco's throat, and they were controlling the clock, and it's what put the 49ers into that desperate position at the end of the game offensively in the first place. So it was an issue, especially up the middle and especially at the edge opposite Nick Bosa. So we saw the 49ers make wholesale changes to their defense over the course of this offseason. So the teal means that the player is a free agent addition. Green, again, means it's a rookie that the 49ers added either through the draft or undrafted free agency. There's a lot of teal. And consider the fact that the defensive line rotation is typically only eight players big. The rotation the 49ers actually use on game day. They'll carry 9 or 10 on the active roster, but typically there'll be an inactive out of the 9, and it's only 8 that are seeing time. And those 8 will see quite a bit of time because Chris Kocurek wants to come at you in waves. So they've replaced 50% of the rotation between Malik Collins, Jordan Elliott, Leonard Floyd, and Yetur Gross-Matos. Anyway, I'll start with Nick Bosa up here. Bosa is Bosa, and he's actually at training camp this time, so I wouldn't expect an early season slowdown from him. You can expect Bosa to have a big year from wire to wire, start to finish, given the fact that he's not going to have to be knocking off any rust early on. Then there's Malik Collins. Where's number 99? He's the replacement for Eric Armstead. Is he going to be as good as Eric Armstead? Probably not. I mean, Eric Armstead was a really, really good player for the 49ers. But the 49ers are banking on Collins to be more available than Eric Armstead, who missed 13 games over the past two seasons. And they're, to be honest, they're also hoping for a little bit better run defense. I think Eric Armstead really struggled as he was fighting through some injuries to be as good of a run defender in 2023 as he had been prior to that. And one of the big reasons that the 49ers were the number one run defense in football in 2021 and 2022, well, 2021 especially, they started to slip a little bit in 2022. In 2021, they had DJ Jones. They had the big, wide nose tackle type who could absorb some double teams, and he made guys around him like Eric Armstead better. Last season, the 49ers had a lot of pass rush specialists. Armstead had a great season pass rushing. Javon Kinlaw had his best season pass rushing. Javon Hargrave is a pass rusher. He's a better pass rusher than a run defender. So they had all these pass rushers, but they struggled to stop the run. The hope is that the combination of Malik Collins with Javon Hargrave, with Jordan Elliott, who had a really good run-stop win rate for the Browns last year, that stat's measured by ESPN. The hope is that, you know, the combination of these guys on the inside, combined with obviously Bosa playing some better ball this time with training camp, and Leonard Floyd, who's actually, I mean, this guy's built, you look at him on the sideline, he's built like a wide receiver, but he's scrappy and he's tough against the run. And that build, that long, lanky build, can actually help the 49ers with the pass rush on the other side. But you hope that this new combination, this reworked line, combined with Yetur Gross-Matos, who can also play inside, he's an outside-in kind of guy, like Arden Key, like Charles Omenihu, the 49ers hope that's going to be a more effective formula against the run. Because I'll tell you what, it wasn't good enough last year. You cannot rank number 26 against the run and expect to control football games with your defense. And they didn't control football games with their defense. They ranked around number 10 in the advanced metrics. So you saw a defense that was number one overall in 2022, number one against the run in 2021, but number one overall in 2022 slipped to number 10 overall in DVOA in 2023, and the run defense slipped to number 26. So from one in 2021 to number 26 in 2023, that's just an alarming slip for the 49ers. They needed to fix. The 49ers needed to fix that, which is why they made the big changes, the wholesale changes along their defensive line. I'm going to share this screen one more time because I knew that we went dark there for just a second. There you go. So defensive line, that's why you see all that teal there. Hargrave took the day off today. That was just a scheduled day off. The 49ers are doing a lot of load management in that regard. We saw Bosa take the day off along with McCaffrey the day before. So Hargrave looks like he's in really good shape. I don't know if he's slimmed down or if he added more muscle, but I think he definitely looks like he's ready to attack this season. He thought that the hamstring injury that he suffered down the stretch last year hurt his productivity late in the season and in the playoffs. So obviously Javon Hargrave has that behind him, and he's hoping that he's going to be just as productive as he was in that contract year with the Eagles. We'll see what Malik Collins can bring to the table for the 49ers. And then I mentioned Leonard Floyd. Again, I walked by him today, and I've said this before, but being next to Leonard Floyd makes it all the more striking. The guy is built like a wide receiver. He's if you had been teleported in on a time machine from the 1990s and somebody, you know, put you on the 49ers field and told you Leonard Floyd, number 56, this guy over here is a defensive lineman, you'd say that I was crazy. I mean, defensive linemen did not used to be built like this. Now, there is a revolution in the sport over the course of the past 20 years or so, where starting at the youth ranks of football, probably high school, I would say, high school coaches, and this happened in my own high school, started taking some of their best athletes, guys that you normally put in those wideout positions about 20 years ago, and they said, wait, we can rush the passer with these guys. We can put these guys on the edge. They're more athletic than any of these offensive linemen. They might look like receivers, but we can absolutely rush the passer. So while Leonard Floyd would not have been a defensive lineman 25 years ago, he absolutely is an effective edge rusher now. This guy's 39 and a half sacks over the course of the past four seasons. Now, anytime that you see a player that obviously is a bit lighter than your typical defensive lineman. You say, well, can he stop the run? Is that an issue? That's the one thing that's kept Leonard Floyd in this league, besides his durability, which is super impressive. He's played in 108 straight games. But the one thing that's really, I think, kept him in this league as a productive player for the Rams and the Bills, and now the 49ers are going to have him bookending Nick Bosa, is the fact that, again, I could say he's scrappy against the run. Despite the fact that he's not a 270-pound defensive end, he knows how to fight his way using his body, using gravity, using his agility, using his speed. He can fight his way to the spot against the run. He's not a half bad run defender, which I think is really, really important. Now, the 49ers aren't going to be playing Leonard Floyd 100% of the time opposite Nick Bosa. It's going to be a lot of Iter Gross Matos on the other side, and then Gross Matos, I think, will slide inside to give the 49ers some good reps there. It's going to be fascinating to see how they run those rotations. And when that does happen, Gross Matos on the inside next to Leonard Floyd or next to Nick Bosa, Malik Collins probably leaves the field in those situations because the 49ers are just going to go more pass rush heavy. I don't know if they've got the four defensive end NASCAR package this year because Javon Hargrave is such a good pass rusher. I think he's one of their best four. You stick him in there, but there might be some interesting times ahead with Robert Beal Jr., the second year man out of Georgia, who's got the elite burst, the 4.5 speed. He looks like he's bulked up a bit. In fact, I know he has. Robert Beal's up to about 260 pounds. And, you know, I talk about edge rushers being athletic, being able to come off and rush the passer and just sprint by some of these tackles. But then you worry about the corresponding run defense if they're a little too athletic. It's obviously not a huge issue with Leonard Floyd because he's a vet and he knows how to get around it. Somebody like Robert Beal Jr. needed to add some weight to not be a liability against the run. And hey, pads don't come on until Monday, so this is all speculation right now. But the reason why this Monday moving forward is going to be so fun for this 49ers training camp is that we're finally going to get to see guys like Robert Beal Jr. put their muscle gain to the test. Once pads come on, the actual pushing and shoving happens and the actual competition on the field does happen. So I can't wait to see that. I'm looking forward to Jordan Elliott too. The big body. It's a big, stout-looking body. He was top five, top six in run-stop win rate for the Browns last year. Should be an interesting addition to the 49ers defensive line rotation. Of course, you've got Kevin Givens on the inside as well. I think, you know, so now you look deeper into this roster for the final defensive tackle spot in the rotation, assuming there are only four defensive tackle spots in the rotation. You look at Givens. You look at Kalia Davis, who is fully healthy now. He's got the DJ Jones comps, right? You look at T.Y. McGill, who's the old veteran on the team, the trusted veteran of the 49ers, I think, will carry on the practice squad again. You look at the upstart rookie, Evan Anderson out of Florida Atlantic. He's the undrafted free agent with the $280,000 guarantee. You look at Shaquel Brown, the former Titan, second-year man who tried out for the 49ers this spring, entered their spot on the team. All these guys are competing to get that what looks to be the coveted final defensive tackle spot in the rotation. And, you know, people get excited about new names a lot, but I think, you know, Kevin Givens has become a trusted name. And to me, it still seems like he's ahead of those other guys. But I also am realistic, and I know that injuries happen. And you cannot expect, especially at a physical position like defensive line, you can't expect these eight to make it unscathed through the season. So that's why it's important to have more than eight. And that's why we'll probably get a look at Kalia Davis or whoever's first on that pecking order after this training camp. Evan Anderson's a big body, nose tackle type of body. Shaquel Brown, really, really strong base, but also upper body. I mean, he's one of the strongest guys on the team immediately for the 49ers after joining them just a couple months ago. And Kalia Davis, well, Kalia, the reason he's so intriguing, and again, I got to see pads come on to fully verify this, but I still haven't found, and I asked Chris Kocurek about this a couple years ago, I still have not found a player who played stack inside linebacker, think like the Warner Greenlaw position, in his college career and then converted to defensive tackle. I mean, think about that. Of course you see outside linebackers convert to defensive ends. That's a simple 3-4, 4-3 swap. Maybe you'll see outside linebackers convert to defensive tackles, but even that would be extremely rare because a defensive tackle, you got to remember, that's for the guys who've got those wide bodies who can really clog up those blockers. I mean, it's a totally different body type than you'd expect to see at any of the linebacker positions, especially the inside linebacker position, which is known for its athleticism, known for guys being a little bit more light on their feet. But Kalia Davis started his college career as an inside linebacker, and then he moved to defensive tackle. So what you have is a guy with a big, wide frame, but you could tell if you look at his legs, he looks more like an inside linebacker. So he's got athletic legs. That's why the 49ers have been so excited about Kalia Davis, and that's why they've compared him to DJ Jones. DJ wasn't an inside linebacker in college, but he was super explosive for being the type of guy that can handle a one-tech position on the inside, probably playing three-tech way more often for the 49ers. But still, you need a body that's big enough to absorb those blocks on the inside. So if Kalia Davis can be 80% of the player that DJ Jones was, well, the 49ers have got themselves somebody that could be the structural support against the run that I think they've been missing since 2021. Can he become that? Time will tell. He obviously tore his ACL the final year of college, and you know, his first couple of years in the NFL have been slowed down by the recovery from that injury. But the 49ers have a lot of intriguing new options at the defensive line position. I said I was going through every single player, so we got to talk about the guys on this side. Alex Barrett, he's been Mr. Practice Squad for the 49ers. Would not be surprised to see him back in that spot. Same thing with Austin Bryant. And then I've seen a little bit. It's funny. Sam Okoyinonanu is a veteran. He's been around the league, and he's wearing number 91 now. He's a defensive end. He's wearing Eric Armstead's old jersey. But as you can see, there's a lot of bodies here. Maybe not as many bodies anymore as the receiver position. You'll see they're loaded at the receiver position. 13 wideouts on the roster, but there's still a lot on in this defensive line standing between the guys on the roster bubble and playing time. Anyway, that's the defense. We've gone through the whole thing. Why don't we talk about today's hat? Today's hat is Lombardi Wines. Now, I'm not related, but here we have Tony and Drew Lombardi wearing the same hat that I have. They're based up in Sonoma County. They're based in Petaluma, Lombardi Wines, and they have a really, really good Pinot Noir. Good friends, and yes, they are 49ers fans. And I understand that they are in Oregon right now at the International Pinot Noir Competition, and their wine, the Lombardi Wines Pinot Noir, has been selected to participate. So Tony and Drew, congratulations to Drew. He just graduated from Cal Poly. They are up in Oregon right now, 49ers fans in a wine competition. So today's hat is Lombardi Wines from Petaluma. Now we move on to today's second part of the discussion, and that is the 49ers offense. We're going to be going through every single player, just like we did for the entire defense. Now we get to do it on the offensive side of the football. So we just talked the defensive trenches. We'll talk offensive trenches next. This is where it gets really interesting. I've got an article dropping on The Athletic tomorrow morning about Dominic Pooney. Dominic Pooney, 49ers rookie, third round pick out of Kansas. He is now with the first team. He's in this spot. And I'd probably switch Spencer Burford and John Feliciano. What I'll do here, yeah. We put Burford into the first string spot because Burford started the camp as the 49ers' first string right guard. John Feliciano, who took that job from Burford down the stretch of last season, was sort of a utility sixth lineman to start camp. But as you can see, both Burford and Feliciano are now shaded in pink, which means both of these guys are currently out of practice. Burford broke his hand. He might need surgery. He's going to be out, according to Kyle Shanahan, an expected 3 weeks. So with Feliciano also out of practice right now with an undisclosed injury, it's been Dominic Pooney, the rookie, taking first-team reps. Obviously, Trent Williams is holding out. We should probably make a color shade for Trent Williams since he's not at practice right now. So Jalen Moore has been the first team left tackle, and Dominic Pooney, the rookie, has been the first team right guard. The other players have been as expected: Aaron Banks at left guard, Jake Brendel at center, and Colton McKibbitz at right tackle. That being said, Brendel's not practicing every day. They're taking it easier on his knee. He had knee tendonitis that he was dealing with that kept him out of the spring program. So we've actually seen Ben Bartsch over here. I'll probably have to amend the roster to get Ben Bartsch on the 53-man projection, because he's been taking some first-team center reps when Brendel's been getting a breather. And we've seen some first-team center reps from Nick Zakel, Brock Purdy's roommate, as well. So the bottom line is what I just talked about along the offensive line is pretty complicated, right? My point is that it's unsettled. A lot of this is unsettled, and it's okay because it's July 27th. There's still a while before the 49ers play, but this is something they've got to figure out. And the biggest piece is obviously Trent Williams. And Trent Williams, I think the 49ers, you know, I talk about contracts a lot and I get into the dollars and cents. And if we want to discuss that for a minute here, we can. There is a win-win to be found with Trent Williams. The 49ers can go out and theoretically, but I'll go on a limb and say that it will happen. Theoretically, they can find a price point with Trent Williams that both rewards Trent Williams for still being the top tackle in the league and also improves the 49ers salary cap situation, because when you give a player guaranteed money through a signing bonus or a guaranteed option bonus, then you could stretch that money out against the cap over 5 years. That's how the NFL works. That's a rule that actually works in the 49ers' favor. And the 49ers will be happy to stretch Trent Williams' money into the future, just like they stretched Christian McCaffrey's money into the future. I can illustrate how that happened with Christian McCaffrey to give you a conceptualization of how that might happen with Trent Williams. Anyway, this is the article. It's up on The Athletic, so you should go check it out. I'm going to send it to Mike right now. Mike, why don't you put this into the description so people can click on it and check it out. But we're going to go down to the chart of Christian McCaffrey's contract and take a look at the breakdown of Christian McCaffrey's contract to help you understand how the 49ers might maneuver with Trent Williams and resolve this situation. Okay, so with McCaffrey, you could see that against the cap, the 49ers are going to be paying Christian McCaffrey until 2030, according to this. It's not actually going to happen that way, but this is what we call financial Tetris cap gymnastics. The signing bonus is shaded in blue. The signing bonus is spread over the course of 5 years like an accordion against the cap. So McCaffrey gets the money of the signing bonus now, or when he signed, but the money against the salary cap is spread over those 5 years. Then they tack on a guaranteed option bonus in 2025. It comes in 2025, but the cap impact is spread over 5 years. Same thing with another option bonus in 2026. You create void years to spread it out as far as possible. Whenever McCaffrey is done with the team, well, then all the money that has not yet been paid, that's been stretched like an accordion over future years, collapses into the year on hand, and it hits as dead money in that particular season. Anyway, through guaranteed money, when you give a player a nice signing bonus, you restructure their contract. Trent Williams has no guaranteed money left right now, so they can give Trent Williams some guaranteed money. Through guaranteed money, you actually gain greater control of the salary cap. And if the salary cap is rising as it is right now, because NFL revenue is increasing, well, you actually can fit more under the salary cap in the future, and it's like taking out a zero interest loan. That's how the 49ers paid Christian McCaffrey. You could see the diagram here. Mike put the link to The Athletic in the description. That's how they can actually reduce Brandon Ayuk's cap hit from $14 million to about $8 million this season, and that is how the 49ers can handle this Trent Williams situation in a win-win. A lot of people are like, well, Trent Williams has got 3 years left on his contract. What's going on? Like, shouldn't he honor his contract? Well, here's the thing. Trent Williams got leverage. It's like The Empire Strikes Back when Darth Vader says, I'm altering the deal. Pray that I don't alter it any further. Trent Williams has that kind of power over the 49ers because they really badly need him along that offensive line. I mean, Brock Purdy was excellent despite the fact that the offensive line was generally porous in front of him, but the offensive line had Trent Williams at left tackle. I can only imagine how ugly it would have looked without him up front last year. So Trent is done with the guaranteed money on his deal. That portion of the contract is behind us, and he wants more guaranteed money. And yes, he does have the leverage of saying, I can retire, because he is 36 years old. He's accomplished. He's set for life. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's got all this on his side, and the 49ers are trying to win a Super Bowl this year. So they badly need Trent in the building. That means he has leverage. That means they need to find a way to make this contract work with Trent Williams, and the team is probably going to have to concede on its end. That being said, because of the salary cap situation that I outlined for you with the Christian McCaffrey deal being the prime example, the 49ers can theoretically meet Trent Williams' demands while also executing a win-win for both sides, because they can gain more control over where those cap hits land. And I'll tell you what, a year before you have to pay Brock Purdy, probably around $60 million per year, you want to gain maximum control over the cap over the course of the next two or three seasons. The more control you have, the better. Because if you can, fiddle those numbers around, move the hits a little bit later through the proration of the signing bonus, then you will be able to theoretically stay under a rising cap if you are the 49ers. Anyway, that's their financial strategy. Let's go back to some O-line talk. They badly need Trent Williams. I think early in camp, it's been predictable, but Nick Bosa, Leonard Floyd, Yetur Gross-Matos, all those guys have beaten Jalen Moore so far early in camp on some select snaps, and it's going to be a lot harder for opponents to beat Trent Williams once he's reinserted into that left tackle position. Aaron Banks is in a contract year at left guard. Today, Chris Foerster talked about Banks's quickness, how he's so quick off the ball. That's why the 49ers love him in their scheme, especially in run blocking. I mentioned Brendel. There's a situation there where he can't practice every day, or they don't want him to practice every day due to the knee tendonitis. They want to give him some veteran days off, so they're working other guys into that center position. So far, we've seen Ben Bartsch there, and we've seen Nick Zakel there. The third team has seen Drake Nugent at the center position. He is the undrafted rookie out of Michigan who turned a lot of heads because the 49ers didn't have to even use a draft pick on him. And this is a guy that was an all first team Big Ten center for a 15-0 national championship Michigan team. That definitely is a player to look out for. Maybe not this season, but moving forward further into the future. My big question, though, is who plays right guard? Is it going to be Dominic Pooney? Is Dominic Pooney going to be able to capitalize on this next 3-week stretch when presumably he's going to be the guy taking first team reps? Maybe John Feliciano comes back and he starts taking those first team reps at right guard, but it might be more valuable for the 49ers to really get Dominic Pooney ready. He didn't give up any sacks over 2 years at Kansas. This is the first player that the 49ers have drafted high along the offensive line, or maybe drafted anywhere, that has been a better pass protector than run blocker in college. Pooney was a better pass protector than run blocker. That diverges from the 49ers' point of focus from before. I think it's a very direct acknowledgement that they need to fortify the line and the protection in front of Brock Purdy. And now, over the next couple of weeks, especially when pads come on, we will get to see Dominic Pooney with the first team. Spencer Burford started as a rookie at right guard 2 seasons ago, and Pooney's a higher draft pick than Spencer Burford. So let's let the games begin. This is going to be a lot of fun to see what the 49ers have in Dominic Pooney. And it might be the defining question for this offense, maybe even for this team over the course of the next couple of weeks, because Purdy with better protection, look out. He was already the most efficient quarterback in football with worse protection last season, but better protection, especially from the interior, could be really, really good news for the 49ers. So they've got Chris Hubbard at the right tackle position, backup right tackle position. I thought that maybe we might see a little bit more of a competition for swing tackle. Doesn't look like it's going to be that. It's been Jalen Moore and Jalen Moore only replacing Trent Williams for the time being. Hubbard is older. He's 33. Played for Tennessee last year. Daniel Brunskill, the former 49er, actually recommended Hubbard to the 49ers. So to me, it seems that Hubbard's working exclusively on the right side right now. We'll see if that continues. I mentioned the rest of these guys on this side of the dividing line. Other side, you've got more depth. I think Ben Bartsch will probably make the team based on the way things are trending right now. So I'll modify this before I do a 53-man projection. Jarrett Kingston's going to be interesting. He'll be right on that bubble. Really, really athletic player, just like Dominic Pooney, just like a lot of the 49ers offensive linemen. Jarrett Kingston excelled in some of the short shuttle times, the three-cone times coming out of USC. Also has a strong pass-protecting background under Mike Leach before he transferred at Washington State. He's been playing both guard and tackle over the course of the first few practices, so we'll see if he can make the team. And then Brandon Parker. You know, I thought that Brandon Parker might challenge Jalen Moore. I don't think it's happened yet, but pads haven't come on yet. Former third-round pick of the Raiders, who was signed as a free agent, has dealt with some injury issues in his NFL career, but he's been healthy enough to practice for the 49ers. There's also Bryson Mays, who's been playing some guard. He was a center at Southern Miss, undrafted free agent, going to be fighting probably for a spot on the practice squad. The international exemption this year is Isaac Alarcón. Alarcón, he takes Alfredo Gutierrez's old spot. So Isaac Alarcón was with the Cowboys as their international exception player. Isaac Alarcón actually played college football with Alfredo Gutierrez. They both played in Monterrey, Mexico. Isaac was the left tackle. Alfredo was the right tackle. So now the 49ers have hosted Alfredo, I think, for 3 years. And Isaac is their new international exception player from Mexico. All right, we're moving forward position groups. This is going nice. We're going through every single player. How about tight end? Tight end is going to be a good one. We could play a little video from practice today because Logan Ryan, sorry, I keep on calling him Logan Ryan, and that's my mistake. I need to call him Logan Thomas because Logan Ryan is retired. He's no longer with the 49ers. Logan Thomas, 48. 55 catches for Washington last year. So we know he can catch the ball, but blocking, he needs to learn how to block to fit the 49ers system. There's been a lot of emphasis on Logan Thomas and his blocking work at training camp. And here we have it today. And it seemed like it was really good work today. George Kittle seemed happy about it. Brian Fleury, who's the 49ers tight end coach, seemed happy about it. If Logan Thomas can continue developing as a blocker, I think he could win that fourth tight end spot. I think the 49ers will carry four tight ends on this football team. I can illustrate right here. I have him projected to make it right now. I think that Braden Willis or Eric Saubert are in the driver's seat to be tight end two. Saubert's another free agent that the 49ers added. Kittle's looking great. I mentioned him at the top of the show. He's healthy, just like Charvarius Ward. But that fourth spot, it's probably going to be a battle, if nobody gets hurt, between Logan Thomas and Cam Latu, the second-year player out of Alabama who struggled with drops last training camp, who then had knee surgery, was shut down for the season. So Latu's got to prove something in the receiving game, and Logan Thomas has to prove something in the blocking game. So who proves more? Who becomes a more adaptable all-around player? That may be the guy that gets the slot for the 49ers on that 53-man roster. Then it's a battle for the practice squad between Mason Plyne, former basketball player in college, 6'7", 6'8", target, and Jake Tongis, who was on this team already on the practice squad last year. Either way, the 49ers have long been trying to get tight end two to be more of a receiving threat. Charlie Werner had 11 catches in 4 years for this team. They tried to pry Brock Wright away from the Detroit Lions in restricted free agency. Didn't work because the Lions held on the right. They matched the 49ers offer. So the 49ers went to Eric Saubert, who has been a great utility player in the NFL. I mean, he was same year as George Kittle, 2017 draft, same round as George Kittle, fifth round of that 2017 draft. He's a big dude. Big, strong arms. You could tell he can block. I think Eric Saubert will let this offense continue running. The very first pass from Brock Purdy in training camp was this corner route off schedule, rolling out to Eric Saubert, who made a nice catch off a beautiful throw from Purdy. So Saubert can be a threat downfield. That's great. But Logan Thomas had 55 catches last season. And that's a true, like, okay, this guy could be a receiver type of threat. So It's about balance at that tight end position. I think first and foremost, those blocking abilities are so important to this 49ers offense because the bread and butter is that outside zone and the combination blocks they do between the tight ends and the offensive tackles. You saw that drill when I was showing you Logan Thomas. That's the tight ends and the tackles working together at 49ers camp. Anyway, that is the tight end position. We move forward to the receiving position. Obviously, we haven't seen Brandon Ayuk on the field yet, or at least participating on the field. He's been watching practice with John Lynch on one of the days. He walked in front of the media up to John, looked to be John Lynch's office the other one of the days. He's got a whole lot less leverage than Trent Williams. 49ers have so many weapons on this offense. I think they can deliver even with Brandon Ayuk out, but they're better with Brandon Ayuk for sure. He's an excellent football player. I think that just because of the financial situation I was telling you about earlier, you've got to find numbers that work for you if they're the 49ers. You can't let the sink of the salary cap overflow with too many expenditures in future years. So the 49ers, I would believe, have a firm offer out to Brandon Ayuk, and it's take it or leave it mode. Maybe they sweeten the pot a little bit if he holds out a bit longer or holds in a little bit longer. But again, Trent Williams is dictating the terms of his situation much more effectively than Brandon Ayuk in his situation. And it's not because of something they're doing different from a negotiating perspective. It's just because Trent Williams is in a spot of much more leverage as the left tackle, as the number one tackle in football on an offensive line that badly cannot lose him. Whereas Brandon Ayuk, yeah, 49ers offense takes a hit if he's not in there, but they have other weapons, starting with Christian McCaffrey, going down to Deebo Samuel. I mean, we could talk about this entire receiving room right now. Samuel looking awesome, makes several catches a day. This might be the best shape that I've seen Samuel in. They called him Skinny Deebo in 2021 before he went crazy and took over as both a receiver and a running back. Maybe we see more of the same from Deebo this year, although I don't think they need to use him as a running back unless a lot of guys get hurt there. Juwan Jennings is Juwan Jennings, covered his football camp in Tennessee a week ago today. That was last Saturday. He's looking strong. He's got his new contract. We'll get our first look at Ricky Pearsall in all likelihood this week as he comes back from the hamstring injury. Jacob Cowing was impressive early on. He's got a ton of speed. Jacob Cowing, out of all receivers at the NFL Combine this year, all receivers, ran his first 5 yards of his 40 faster than anybody. So I talk all the time about Brock Purdy's 10-yard split and how impressive his 10-yard split is, especially relative to his 40. Jacob Cowing's got the 5-yard split down. He hit like 15 miles an hour in the first 5 yards of his 40-yard dash. And we saw that. They ran a little drag to Jacob Cowing the other day, and he just took off. It's like he had a jetpack attached to his back. He's not a big guy, probably Ray McLeod size. But I mean, the jetpack just... I think Kyle Shanahan even used the jetpack analogy at one point, watching his tape in Arizona. So Cowing could be a guy in punt returns. He could be the gadget weapon that Ray McLeod was for this offense, but he's got the hamstring injury right now, so we're probably not going to see him for a little bit. That could open a door for somebody like Trent Taylor to grab a 53-man roster spot. Either way, I think you want Trent Taylor in the building, maybe as a punt return practice squad weekly call up until injuries happen. Then you have to promote him to the roster. He's going to be valuable. He didn't muff a single punt for the 49ers over his 4 years with the team to begin his career. And, you know, especially coming off of a Super Bowl loss where punt return was one of the reasons the 49ers lost. They need somebody really durable back there. You just can't screw punt returns up. The upside, which is not great in punt returns because the league has gotten so good at covering them and punters have gotten so good at directional kicking, forget the upside on that play. Think more about the downside and avoid it. And I think Trent Taylor could be a good option in that regard for the 49ers. I will say that Danny Gray has been involved over the first four practices, and we know he's fast. But he's caught a pass in at least one pass every practice. I'm still a little concerned about his ability to physically, make some of these contested catches. I think Samuel Womack beat him on a contested catch the other day. But Gray is absolutely in contention to stay on this 49ers roster as their deep threat. And, you know, if Jacob Cowing is hurt, he's a speedster. Danny Gray is going to have more reps, more opportunities here as pads come on. So don't count out Danny Gray. Ronnie Bell is on the bubble for sure. And, you know, if Ronnie Bell can't give the 49ers value in special teams, the punt return department, and it still looks a little shaky in that punt return department, it's just hard to see them being able to fit him, barring some of these injuries persisting at the receiver position. So it's going to be really important for Ronnie Bell to show some stability in the special teams aspect of the game. They signed Ronald Darby today because you don't have Pearsall, you don't have Cowing, you don't have Brandon Ayuk due to the hold-in. Darby's Ayuk's former teammate at ASU. I think Pearsall's former teammate at ASU too before Pearsall transferred. So we'll keep an eye on if he can impress. Tay Martin, Malik Turner, also a recent addition because of the short numbers at wide receiver. These are all guys that are filling out part of the 13-man receiver room. The 13th man in that 13-man receiver room is Tariq Owens. He dropped a couple passes in warmups, but I think he's looked better over the last couple days. The one thing about Tariq is he's worked extremely hard. He was a basketball player up until really recently, like his dad, Terrell Owens, who started his athletic career as a basketball player, then moved to football. They run with the same stride, with the same gait. It's crazy. He's got those big, long strides, just really powerful, violent strides, just like Terrell Owens. Not saying that Tariq is Terrell Owens, but I'm saying that they run very similarly. And, you know, if he continues to improve, there's a chance that he can hang around the practice squad. It's just going to, there's a lot of slack for Tariq Owens to pick up just because I think he started behind, given his relative football inexperience. But I know a lot of people are interested in Tariq Owens because he is T.O.'s son. And his nickname, his initials are also T.O. So I hope that's not going to be his nickname because that could confuse people. But I do know that is a player of interest. All right, we're almost done. Running back position. McCaffrey looks great. Today he had one of those cuts where he was in just a big crowd of players and all of a sudden he was 6 yards away from everybody. Christian is really good, and he got married this offseason. I'm sure everybody has heard about that. He's still very much in his prime. You can hope that he's still very much in his prime because the 49ers have given him this contract extension and raise, which all that shaded money is guaranteed to Christian McCaffrey over the course of the next several seasons. And I think that Christian McCaffrey is a good player to invest in, a good player to bet on if you're looking to allocate your guaranteed money in a wise spot. Elijah Mitchell's looked really good. Elijah Mitchell, when he's healthy, he's the number two, unquestionably. And he does everything well. And I thought he really deserved that touchdown that he scored in the NFC Championship game to put it away. McCaffrey was tired because he had just ripped off a big run to get the 49ers to the goal line. Thought that was a cool moment in the NFC title game last year. Mitchell has taken so much flack for his injuries, but hey, guess what? It's tough. It is very, very tough in the NFL at this physical position to stay healthy. He's fought through it. He's healthy right now. You can hope that it stays that way because he's a really good number two. I've really liked what I've seen from Jordan Mason over the course of training camp. He's developed. They say that he's developed into a full three down guy. That's what Christian McCaffrey was saying. He used to just be the closer that would run really hard at the end of the games, but now he can catch the ball out of the backfield. There's a big question about Mason. It's the pass protection ability, and we won't really be able to see that until Monday when the pads come on. So that's going to be big for Jordan Mason. Isaac Garendo is out now with the hamstring injury, and he dealt with hamstring injuries in college as well. That might open the door for Cody Schrader, the leading rusher in the SEC from last year, and I think Schrader's been running well. These backs, though, it's going to be really hard to fully evaluate them until they face live tackling. And the 49ers don't tackle live at practice even after they put on the pads. So I want to see Cody Schrader in the preseason games. Patrick Taylor Jr. too. I mean, Patrick Taylor might be a good man for the practice squad just because he's a great pass protector. Did a good job in that regard for Green Bay last year, and he could be some trusted depth for the 49ers. But Schrader might have an opportunity with Garendo out. McCaffrey, and then, you know, there's Juszczyk too. We got a cool... While we're on the running back position, I'm driving up 101 North today, and I see this. Adopt a highway. Kyle Juice Juszczyk. So he's out here making sure that the highway is taken care of. I thought that was cool. This is right off of 101 and I think an exit up from Levi Stadium. So it's Great America Parkway, Bowers Avenue. So one exit north of there on 101, you could see Kyle Juszczyk's name on the freeway. I actually, you know, I had to like loop back around to see it. I went up the next exit. I go south for an exit and I loop back around. And I had to clear my eyes to make sure I saw that right. So I put that up on Twitter. Just a little, another interesting 49ers connection in the community. So we can go back to the depth chart now. Juszczyk, he's caught a few passes, took the pay cut in off season. He said now in the media that it's helped that Kristen, his wife's business has really taken off. That's been impressive. So he's been able to shoulder that pay cut a little bit better. But that was a real team move. I think that Juszczyk, he's got leverage too over the 49ers. If they want to run the offense the way that Kyle Shanahan likes to run it, you need a do everything guy like Kyle Juszczyk. And there's not a lot of players in the league that can do what he does. I always go back to, you know, he's a great receiver. He was a slot receiver at Harvard. I mean, he's made some great catches, including a couple in the NFC Championship game. That one in the Super Bowl near the sideline was huge. He's got good rapport with Purdy. I get it. There are guys that can catch the ball in the NFL. But are there guys that can catch the ball in the NFL who can pick up an edge rusher like Carlos Dunlap after crossing the formation in pass protection? Because I also know that Juszczyk can run block, but go back to the game against Cincinnati in 2019, week two at Cincinnati, 2019. Kyle Juszczyk lined up left side of the formation. Carlos Dunlap in his prime, big time edge rusher, much heavier than, well, Carlos Dunlap is also athletic. I think probably weighs, 240? So probably not all that much heavier than Kyle Juszczyk, but he's tall, he's big, he's strong. It's going to be a tough matchup for any running back. Juszczyk at the snap crosses the formation. It's a play fake and switches sides. So the quarterback was Jimmy Garoppolo. Juszczyk crosses Jimmy Garoppolo and is able to take out Carlos Dunlap. It's a really, really difficult block to execute because the 49ers sent their offensive tackle up on a screen. The screen was to Marquise Goodwin. Marquise Goodwin scored a touchdown. That's a blast from the past, by the way, Marquise Goodwin. Where's he at now? Wasn't he with Seattle last season? Anyway, he was fast. Speaking of the Olympics, they're happening right now. But that play wouldn't have been possible without Kyle Juszczyk. And there's so many plays that the 49ers run that wouldn't be possible without Kyle Juszczyk. If he didn't want to take a pay cut, he might have been able to say so, and the 49ers might have been forced to pay him. But the way that this roster has stayed financially sustainable, and I think will be sustainable moving into the future, and I think there's a chance they can keep Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk even after they sign Brock Purdy, is because they preemptively are making sure that there is not fat on this roster, financial fat on this roster. So they asked Eric Armstead to take a pay cut. He obviously said no. They weren't able to meet him at his price. So Armstead is now in Jacksonville, and they have a more cost-efficient option in Malik Collins. They asked Kyle Juszczyk to take a pay cut. He said yes. So Kyle is still on this team at the reduced rate, which is great for the 49ers. But I want to take this opportunity to illustrate how important to San Francisco Kyle Juszczyk is. We go back to the Lombardi wine guys, but I wanted to go back to that. Kyle Juice Juszczyk on the freeway, 101 North in the Bay Area. I wonder if he's also listed on the sign 101 South. I'll have to check when I head down to the facility this next week. All right, now's the moment everybody's been waiting for, the quarterback position. Why don't we talk about it? QB, Brock Purdy. I mean, the guy, it's hard to list enough superlatives for Brock Purdy. He was the number one QB in the league efficiency-wise by a huge margin last season. QBR, EPA, whatever you want to look at, the EPA completion percentage composite. Elite MVP finalist. We get it. All those things happen. But he's come back. He's throwing harder. He looks stronger. He's added a couple pounds of muscle. He looks in total command. We talked about his press conference the other day. He's in command at the podium as well. Today, he spoke to Mike Silver of the San Francisco Chronicle, and he straight up said that he wants to be dominant this season. I mean, holy crap. Brock Purdy is this could be special, especially if the 49ers can protect him, which is why, I mean, he was awesome even with substandard pass protection last year. But if this can improve along the interior line, if somebody like Dominic Pooney can give the 49ers a boost, if Colton McKivitz can take that second year leap that the 49ers hope that he does as the second year starting as a right tackle, I think things can be even better for Brock Purdy. Hey, Mike, if you're watching, Mike, can you find the Brock Purdy pass protection XY chart? We'll finish the show with that, the one where Brock Purdy's dots all the way up on the left. If Mike can find it, then I'll pop it open on the screen. In the meantime, while we're waiting for that, I'm going to look at the backup quarterbacks for the 49ers. We can put the depth chart up one more time. Josh Dobbs, I thought, had a much better day today. He struggled over the first 3 days. He's learning in the new system. That's okay. He went 10 of 11 today, Saturday. So I think he's the favorite to be the QB2. And the 49ers can keep a QB3 in the building and still have him eligible to be the emergency third quarterback. The NFL rules have actually changed this season from the practice squad. So I think Brandon Allen is going to stay in the building, even if he loses the battle to Josh Dobbs, and he could be the 49ers emergency third quarterback. Now, are the 49ers as strong at the backup quarterback position as they were last year? I highly doubt that. Sam Darnold was, I would say, an epically good backup quarterback. They rehabilitated his career. He's tearing it up at training camp in Minnesota now. You know, his arm talent galore, and unfortunately, the 49ers couldn't afford Sam Darnold. He cost $10 million a year for the Minnesota Vikings. So the 49ers are going to have to make do with what they have in the room right now. Tanner Mordecai is more of the project quarterback. He's the undrafted free agent. The battle for number two is focused on Dobbs and Brandon Allen. And I would say that Dobbs is the favorite. He's got more physical upside, and he did go 10 of 11 today. So it seems that he might be settling in to that offense. Just wait to see what I have to close this for you guys right now, because it truly is awesome. Mike was able to grab it, so we can save it right now and we can put it up on the screen. This is the Brock Purdy image to end all Brock Purdy images. If I could just find it right now and get it up there. Oh, here it is. Good. No, I have not found it yet. Give me 1 second, because this right here, I think, illustrates everything about Brock Purdy's performance and efficiency last season, and sets the table for what might be able to come this next season. There you have it. So this is quarterback efficiency and pass protection. You've got pass block grade for each team, each quarterback's team, on the x-axis, that's down here. And you've got efficiency in terms of EPA per play on the y-axis. So you want to be further up if you're a quarterback. The x-axis is not a measure of you as a QB, it's a measure of your pass protection. So the better your pass protection, the further to the right your dot will be. The more efficient you are as a quarterback, the further up your dot's going to be. As you can see, Brock Purdy up here is far and away ahead of everyone else in the National Football League when it comes to efficiency. I mean, Dak Prescott second, and it's not a close second. Josh Allen's third, and it's not a close third. Brock Purdy is head and shoulders above everybody else in the National Football League. Yet, Brock Purdy also has below average pass protection according to PFF grade. So he did all of that despite the fact that his pass protection has him on the left side of this graph. You can tell there's a correlation between pass protection and efficiency, as you would expect. In general, you could see the correlation line. It's the diagonal right here. Quarterbacks get more efficient as their pass protection gets better. The outlier is Brock Purdy, who's got elite escapability. He's an elite mover, right? He can move. He's got the 10-yard split. He's able to get out of that pocket. He's got a very strong base. He's got one of the strongest three bases in the league. The quads have gotten even stronger, so guys fly off of him when they try to sack him. You saw that against the Lions when he hit Kyle Juszczyk on that off-schedule play. So Purdy has the ability to deliver despite the fact that his offensive line is ranked over on the left side of his graph. And this, to me, is the most staggering chart coming out of the 2023 season, especially considering the fact that Brock Purdy was the 262nd pick of the NFL draft in 2022. Just absolutely staggering, absolutely fascinating. So that was a look at every single player on the 49ers roster. We've gone through it all. It's wild. It took me an hour and 13 minutes of straight talking to go through every single player on the 49ers roster. So I want you to do two things. I want you to subscribe to The Athletic. The link to the article is in the description on the YouTube version of this. Subscribe to YouTube too, if you haven't done that. If you're on Twitter right now, go to David Lombardi over there. Subscribe to the podcast, which we have just launched, the Lombardi Lounge 49ers podcast. So subscribe to The Athletic, subscribe to the podcast. It's on Apple Podcast and it's on Spotify. And as part of our food of the day, go to 19th Street and Mission in San Francisco. Do yourself a favor. This, the largest al pastor on a spit that I've ever seen, with the pineapple steaming on top. That's my recommendation to you to finish this out. We've gone through the meat of the 49ers roster. I mean, we've gone through everything. And this was dessert for me last night. It was awesome. Anyway, everybody, thanks for watching. Catch me on all my channels. This is it. 49ers first block of practice is done. I think we treated it well. Day off tomorrow. No days off here, but we'll see you back on the practice field on Monday.